Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and happy Monday. I hope you all are surviving this massive cosmic storm that's been happening for the last 2 weeks, especially. Since the 14th, we had a lunar eclipse, then we had a cardinal grand cross, the 23rd, 24th, which is continuing and has been. And now we have a solar eclipse coming up tomorrow on the new moon. It's all like clockwork. Pretty amazing. So there's a lot of symptoms going on out there. But don't worry, it'll be over soon. At least it'll change into something else soon, because the solar eclipse is all about new birth. And so we're yet again seemingly in some sort of birth canal with our enlightenment and awakening as a planetary consciousness. So let's talk a little bit just about the symptoms that people are having. Gwen, our blender at daughtersofisis.com, we do the consciousness shift on Saturdays now, and we've been talking about this. A lot of people are talking about it, but just in case you didn't know, if you're having aches or pains or stomach problems or head problems, legs, your weight is going up or down, your diet is all over the map, or you're having cravings, your hunger level has peaked or dropped, your sexual level as well. So anything that is out of balance is going to scream for balance right now. And I know a lot of you have been feeling it. I've seen it in our community. I've been feeling these things as well. No one is safe from this. Even those who are extremely physically fit, I know a few of those people, they are also going through some upheaval. So whatever your thing is, if you are older, if you are, according to you, out of shape or too heavy, or whatever you think you are, you're going to attach probably these symptoms to those things because it makes sense and our brains like to make connections. But it's not necessarily that, but it's a good thing to also look at that, and especially if it's gotten exponentially more annoying. It seems those things that are not nailed down are going to be flapping in the wind and making a lot of noise. But it's, of course, happening for a reason. Everything is part of the learning process, and this is about us getting to know ourselves and really seeing what's going on from every angle in a holistic approach. So thank you for tuning in to Spirit Therapy. This is a great time for Spirit Therapy. And if you would like to have a private session with me, it's a lot of fun. At least that's what I think, and my clients tell me that they always feel better afterwards. And what do? With Spirit Therapy, we talk about what's going on with you, what's going quote unquote right or wrong, and we see what kind of beliefs you have going on, and then we discuss how you can change those beliefs into something that serves you better. That's basically what we do. Seems simple, and it is, and quick. Make a lot of progress in very short amounts of time if you're willing and ready to focus even just a little bit more than you have been. How about that? So one thing I'll suggest because our diet seems to, well, obviously it affects our body at any time, but especially now if our diets are out of whack, which they probably are, because there's a lot going on, and that's one of the things to keep in balance, not only going to the gym, but what are you eating? And if you're running around, you're going to have fast food or takeout food, and that always has higher salt or whatever. But our most important thing is to have a good attitude about what we're eating, even if it's McDonald's. I talk a lot about the GMOs and making sure you have what your body needs for nutrients. Just like you would feed a plant or an animal, you got to feed yourself to be healthy and have your brain work. But you can't always control it. So what do you do for that? Have a good attitude about it. Bless it. Bless it. However you would bless anything, bless it. And thank it for giving you the nutrients that you may even infuse in it, if it is, for instance, McDonald's or thereof. But one good thing that you could do is there is a product called Green Vibrance. You can find it at Whole Foods or Vitamin Shop, most places carry it. It's all the greens that you could possibly want, ever need, and probably never had before, because some of it is seaweed and algae and things from the bottom of the sea. But you take a scoop, you put it into a juice or a water. I take it with water. Tastes a little bit like fish food, but it's your medicine, man. Do you want to feel good with drinking half a glass of something, or, you know, can you not take it? So Green Vibrance, you can take it every day. It's easy on anyone's stomach. And yeah, you'll see the difference instantly with not only your appetite, your body, your mind. Good stuff right there. So, and if something's out of whack, it's best not to freak out. I know that's easier said than done, but really, if we make it our top priority to not freak out, because whatever's happening is happening for a reason, and it's there to tell you something. And you're always guiding yourself. Later on, I'm going to play a Bashar talking about you always make the right choices. And a woman asks about health and sickness. So that'll be interesting. But whatever's happening is happening for a reason. And it also will pass, especially if you don't offer it too much resistance or fear. And know that you'll get through it. Keep your eye on the prize, on the future, on your well-being and your happiness. That's all we have to do. Abraham always says, you don't have to steer your boat in the right direction. You just have to stop doing that thing that you do that keeps you going upstream and making it more difficult for yourself. So if you stop doing that thing, your boat just turns and goes downstream. Easy breezy. So really, those two things are, and napping. Napping is very important. If you're feeling it, do it. Do it. And watch what your brain says. What, you're not worthy? You don't deserve a nap? There's too much to do? What am I, a Rockefeller that I can afford to take the time? Time is money. To take a nap. Yes, you do deserve it. I mean, it's up to you to decide whatever you want, but we all deserve it. And it's very necessary because our DNA is basically rebundling itself. Dormant molecules and parts of ourselves is awakening. So allow your body and your mind as much relaxation as possible. Don't overtax yourself or push too hard on anything. I know this is a time of wanting to move forward because we are all feeling this rebirth, whether we know it or not. And depending on where your signs are, what your signs are, if you are in this, well, everyone's in the Cardinal Grand Cross, but if you're an Aries or a Libra or a Cancer or a Capricorn, you're definitely going to have your own push and pull. But, being an Aries, we always want to push forward is what I'm saying. You know yourself. But there is this push forward because we do, this is the rebirth time. So, but we all have to move forward at our own pace. And I think we're setting that right now. What pace can you move at, especially in the beginning? It should go a little slower, just like a child learning to walk. If it starts running, you know, it could bang its head into the cabinet, which happens and may happen. But if we take our time and find our steady footing and move forward, this time is all about us deciding how we want to work with ourselves and with each other. Hence the topic, guidance versus leadership. Your own guidance, someone else's guidance, your own leadership, leading others or being led by others. I watched two films last night, which gave birth to this topic. One was Park Avenue, Money, Power, and the American Dream. And it's on YouTube streaming. Sorry. Well, you might find it on YouTube, but it's on Netflix as well. And here's the summary of it. I'll just set it up here. In America, the rich are getting richer. Isn't that great? Doesn't that mean there's lots more wealth to go around? Or is it good news for the rich, but very bad news for the poor? 740 Park Avenue, Manhattan, is one of the most exclusive addresses in the world, home to some of the richest Americans, the 1% of the 1%. 10 minutes to the north, across the Harlem River, is the other Park Avenue in the South Bronx. Here, unemployment runs at 19% and half the population needs food stamps. The American dream of equal opportunities and hard work says you can be born in the Bronx and end up at 740 Park Avenue. But is that dream really still true? The film argues the super rich haven't just bought the exclusive addresses, they've bought the whole system and they're running it for themselves. As the sirens, I don't know if you can hear them, the Babylon sirens are crying out. So watching this film really points out where these guys are coming from, who they are, what they're doing. And you realize that anytime politicians are talking about freedom or a prosperous economy, they're really talking about it for themselves, not us. So you can substitute when they say for us all, for substitute it into for only us, because they're not lying when they say us, but they really just mean themselves. It's very interesting to watch this film because you see what these guys say, and you know, you've been hearing them for years, but now we can really hear the truth, can't we? So, and I'm going to talk about that later too, but anyway, so watching this film, if you care at all about humanity, you're going to get annoyed. Unless you've trained yourself how to not get annoyed. That's what I think. Because I avoided watching this. It was in my queue for probably a year. And I'm so glad I watched it. Because as long as we can get away from feeling all kinds of things about what these guys are doing, you know, to get past it and not look at it from an emotional standpoint. Because, you know, who wants to feel that? And so anyway, so once we get past that, we can really see what's going on here. And it's very obvious that they are pushing on things that have been going on for a long time. And at some point, a long time ago, we gave up our power and we looked to others to rule us and to make all the decisions for us. So now they're just playing out exactly what has been set up, this runaway train of these families that just pass the money on to each other, and that's it. So for instance, you know, you hear about the Koch brothers. I'm sure you know about them. They are they own Lycra and all kinds of things everywhere. And these guys are hell-bent on taking everything for themselves and leaving nothing for the rest of the people. So why would somebody do this? Well, they've been bred since they were children to think that they're better than everyone else because they were born here into this rich family and they have money. And I would even hesitate to use the word rich. I know they do, but rich I think of as more than just financial. The riches, that's abundance. They have that, but it's only an abundance of money. So they've been bred since children, and any kind of indoctrination that's against the oneness comes from people teaching you, like racism and sexism and anything that separates us. So that's what they've been bred to do, and to think that they are different from others, and that that is the game, and the goal of life is to take all the pieces and leave none for others. It really seems that that obviously is their standpoint. So they're just protecting what mommy and daddy left for them, and they're going to do it at all costs. But they're just playing their job. They're just showing us what's broken in our society and where we lost our way. I have so many notes. I'm still learning how to write all these things that you think on these big topics and then bring them. Anyway, you've heard me say that. I'm going to stop saying that. It's all about the change. So what's the deal, really, with these guys? Well, they've separated themselves from the oneness. They've separated themselves from love, from light, from God, from source, whatever you want to call it. And they've substituted money for love. Love has become money. Because I used to cater for these people, and I used to cater in that building. At the time, I didn't realize that it was the richest building. You know, they're all ridiculously extravagant. I have to say, most of these people, and I catered for years, mostly rich parties, and I could say maybe I saw three that were actually a lot of fun. The surroundings is beautiful, and the food is extravagantly amazing, and all the pieces are there, but none of the soul is there. They all seem a little, I don't know, irritated and aloof and holier than thou, and at the time I used to get, well, I used to take it personally until I learned how to not take it personally. And a lot of people would, you know, the help. But when you realize where these people are coming from and that they're really just not happy, why are they not happy? Well, it doesn't matter how much money they have. They've separated themselves from the oneness. And why is that a problem? Well, because that's what we are. We're all one. We came in from love and light. We are love and light, and we're going to go back to love and light. Even they are going to go back and be completely welcomed into love and light. God, source, whatever word you want to use. Even they, even the worst of the worst, because we all come from source. We call them the worst, you know, the Hitlers and the Stalins and all these, you know, well, douchebags. But they will still be accepted back into source because that's what they are. So why do you think they're clinging so much to their money? Because that's all they have. That's the game. Why is enough never enough? Because if they stop, what are they going to do? They're going to have to live life. And I don't think they want to do that. I mean, I'm sure that they live life, but this money drive is always behind it. That's the scheming. That's the push. So to see them what they really are, human. We call them devils or evil. I think we should stop using these words for these people because that comes with a lot of fear and dread. We think that it's some sort of power to be to fight against. And that gives them too much credit, way too much credit. They may hold all the money, but at the end of the day, what is money to Source? Nothing. Meaningless. I mean, it's a thing. It's paper or coins, numbers. So it's something. But what does it mean in the scheme of things and what life is all about? Nothing. It's a concept. So if you don't have love and light, you really don't have anything. So I think, you know, seeing these people as disturbed, you know, they're troubled. And without their money, they're miserable, pathetic creatures of sorrow, really. So when we look at them like that, it also deflates them and we see that they're just human. They're just holding a lot of the paper. That's it. So that's my take on the on those guys on a spirit therapy level, and also the movie. Check it out if you feel like. But if you're going to check out any movie, this one is even more important than the other. The Square, which is about the Egyptian revolution that happened 2.5 years ago in Tahrir Square in Cairo. And this is, here's a little snippet from their website. The camera is our weapon. The young revolutionaries in our film are armed with nothing more than cameras, social media, videos posted to YouTube, and a resolute determination to liberate their nation. The film is made in a cinema verite style, giving us an up-close view of revolution from the ground. New technologies show us that the voice of young people cannot be silenced in this digital age. Our characters are fighting an ancient war with new weapons. So I think everybody that's alive right now should watch this film. I think they should teach it in school as a living history, but of course Babylon controls a lot of the schools, especially the public ones, and this is the last thing that they want you to know about. So this film is, this is where our global revolution that's happening right now started. And these people come together and you see what happens when they go through three leaders. They out the first one, then the military takes over. Then they make that not happen. And then they have this other, this Muslim Brotherhood leader that takes power, and he's gone. All happens in less than 3 years. And it's not easy. It's, you know, again, if as unemotional as you can possibly be, of course it's going to be emotional, but try to feel the goodness of it. No, now when we're watching it, we can look back and go, wow, they had no idea at the time what they were starting. I think they did have an idea, but had no way of knowing that that's what was going to happen, that this is what was going to happen. So when we look around and we see all the strife in the world and we go, oh my goodness, again, to not go into that worry, fear, and to see that it's all for a reason and for us to wake up to ourselves. So my point is that in the film, you see what happens. Everyone's together. It's a good start. And then eventually religion comes in and starts to divide people. And you can just imagine what happens. Well, it's not as bad as you might think. Honestly, the people in the masses, I mean, at the end of the film, millions get together and it is all peaceful. So even on the worst day, the masses are doing a good job with their own inner guidance and to say that they don't need to be led by one person that's making all the decisions. One guy in the film says, we need to get over this idea that we need a pharaoh to rule us. And feeling very connected with Egypt and the pharaohs and the whole shebangabang, that rang true. I mean, it rings true to all of us that have, no one that we know of has lived without a ruler since the beginning of, you know, what they say, time, right? Well, there's 6,000 6,000-year time. I think it was different beforehand. But anyway, yeah, that idea of why do we need one person to rule us? So I think this is the beginning of, I mean, obviously, it's funny, cosmic things that are happening. Still, I don't really feel quite right. You might hear it. Maybe you don't. You never know how things are coming out. But I'm very interested to see what happens after this lunar eclipse because, boy, this is not easy. But anyway, so to watch these people get together and figure themselves out, and they do a very good job of it. They do a very good job of it. And to see how one can talk to three and then three become 300 and so on and so forth until eventually, what, it takes them 2.5 years to get 1 million people that get rid of the last guy, the Islamic Brotherhood. And there's a very interesting drama with one of the guys who's part of the Brotherhood, and you can tell he's a sweet spirit, but he's just a little confused about the doctrination and following his leader, his Islamic Brotherhood leader, and therefore he's kind of, you know, made him part of his God, so if he does wrong, he tries to justify it because he loves his God, and then eventually he can't justify what this guy is doing anymore, so he's in a state of confusion. And so, yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. We seem to be very good at our own guidance when we want to. And within the masses, we have some leaders. I mean, these guys, it's from their point of view, this movie, but they're clearly leaders, but there are many leaders. And all the people that came there are leaders. They're on the leading edge of creating a new society. So millions of leaders. Which brings me to integrity. If we ask ourselves a lot of questions about integrity, for instance, these rich guys that are doing commercials for big shitty companies like Capital One and you know, like Samuel L. Jackson and Alec Baldwin doing commercials for the big banks. I mean, unless you're giving every penny you earn from them to the less fortunate, I can't respect that. I can't respect. You're basically saying that you stand for what they are. And you can say, oh, well, they're just doing it for the money. But why? Do they need more money? What they are doing is sending the wrong message, saying that they believe in this. I mean, that's the whole idea of a spokesperson. You know, remember back when, you know, oh, I endorse this. And, you know, they had an actor, or they had this one or that one. But, you know, you really thought about, at least I think, you really thought about what company you wanted to align yourself with. Now, you know, it's whoever they decide to give the gigantic paycheck to, and these guys are like, yeah, I'll take another 200,000 or million or whatever they get. But what kind of integrity is that? And what kind of a leader, what kind of guidance are you giving to people? Samuel L. Jackson. So basically you're saying to white and black people who are looking for a credit card that Capital One is a good idea. I mean, I've heard horror stories about Capital One. Their rates are through the roof. They'll screw you every turn. I mean, come on. And Samuel go on shows and talk about, well, you know, you have to respect this and blah, blah, blah. And I have respect for Samuel. I'm not sure, you know, maybe they haven't thought about it. Who knows? I like Alec Baldwin too. But that's the thing. I think it goes back to this guy in the movie The Square. He's aligned with the Islamic Brotherhood. They are brothers. They love each other. People tend to love each other, especially when you're rallying together for a cause. Even if the guy leading the cause is a mess, people are still going to band together. So you know, how do you stand with these people and stand in your integrity? Well, I think that's what we're learning right now. Same thing with popes and priests and, you know, anyone that we're giving our authority to. Why? Why do you need them? That's not to say that we don't go to these people for guidance, but choose your guidance wisely. Last night I had it's basically remote writing. Remote writing is, it's when you feel that a message is coming through or an answer to a question or something you're thinking about. And there's a lot of information, at least this is how it feels to me. There's a lot of information wanting to come forward, and so you want to write it down so you can process it, and so you write and flow with what's coming as much as possible. And so it takes some practice, just like anything else, but it works. And so I had a channeled message as I was watching the square, and hang on, it's just across the room. 1 second. And why did I bring that up? Well, oh my goodness. Well, I was considering reading it to you. Maybe I'll do that. Priests, popes. Oh well. Anyway. Read it. Don't read it. We'll read it. All right. We have to educate ourselves, my brothers and sisters. If you are feeling restless, if you are feeling depressed, like there is nothing left or worth living for, then educate yourself. You have the greatest tool at your disposal right now, the internet. You can learn everything and anything you want for free on YouTube or Google. You just have to be smart about it. Know that there are snakes in the grass, but that does not mean the forest isn't full of riches and beauty. Netflix and any other independent filmmaking is a wonderful way to see the world around you without moving physically. Like they say in the square, while Egypt's protest, while there are cameras, the revolution is alive. You must educate yourselves, not just for a job, but to find what you really love, what means something to you. That's what a liberal arts education means. Spread the genes around to make a strong individual. Why is that individual so strong? Because there are many components to them. Many different pieces make the whole strong, well-rounded, wise. So know a little about a lot of things. Just make sure that little you know is sound, true, which may drive you to know more, and then more if it interests you. When you know a little about a lot of things, you can't be fooled. Well, you can, but you have a broader perspective, and the more you know, the less percentage you can be fooled, because most that will fool you today, they are not that smart. They only know the party line. They are actors, and they're lost. They flounder or lie. But lies usually, mostly, 98.7% of the time, are detectable sooner or later. But now, most often sooner rather than later. And the later is not late enough to be significant. So it really is 100% sooner. Truth can be seen, or the lack thereof. So ask the right questions. When you learn to ask the right questions, oh yes, that is all you need, and you are already doing this. Educate yourself and others. If you learn one new thing and introduce that one thing into your community is anyone around you you talk to, introduce something new into your community, one fresh new thought you never had. Your whole community changes. Because once the truth is spoken, we feel it in our hearts. Don't get confused. Feelings about what sounds good is different than the resonance of the truth. I'm going to read that again. Feelings about what sounds good is different than the resonance of the truth that you will have to learn for yourself through trial and error. Once you learn the resonance of truth, your beacon is strong. Tune yourself to love. Love for yourself, love for others, love for your planet, love for all that is. You will know what is truth, and many, many of you are already there. Many, millions know. You just don't know that you know it yet. In other words, many know it and don't know they know it. And many don't know there are so many others that know it. Both are true. Now you know. The opposition, as you call them, they are doing their job. They are uniting us. They are showing how and where we can be divided. That is the same way this all got started, with division. Division of self, religion dividing spirituality, economic status dividing classes, sexism, racism, nationalism, all divided people against people. That is how they kept us in check. They employ people to fight against people. If the people unite for freedom, not fight, then they can no longer control us. The 1960s were easier to keep things quiet. Now almost everyone has a camera and the internet. They can silence the mainstream media, but we have known for years now who they are working for. We have our own media. Very difficult to silence. Many of you still want to cling to the past. What is still, but soon to pass? You are angry at the change. You want to believe that what you've been taught by people you love your whole life is true, but it is a lie. The sooner you can let go of your old beliefs that don't serve you, the sooner you can return to what you really want, which is love. So there's that. There is that. So what do we do about this? Well, the main point is to ignore them. Step away from them. Stop buying their food. Stop buying their stuff. Leave them to die in the desert of hatred and greed. And the more that we can do that, and the more that we can wake each other up to making the right purchases, to healing our own bodies and giving our bodies everything that we need. I was going to talk about going to the doctor. You know, unless you have a good doctor, a lot of them are not on the right vibration right now. They want you to be sick. They want you to be sick so that they can continue to charge you for visits and give you prescriptions that they may have gotten kickbacks for. Or they believe all the lies that people need all kinds of medications in order to survive, which is ridiculous. We forgot how to heal ourselves, but we're learning again now. And that's part of it, isn't it? We forgot that we know our bodies best, and we just decided that we were going to go to somebody else to tell us what was going on with us. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's one thing if you've got something really going on, but I think that's what it's really about. You know, is something really going on? What's your internal guidance system really telling you? Do you need a doctor to tell you that you're well? And what if he tells you you're not? And what if that's not true? What if he tells you you have cancer or herpes or, you know, a brain tumor? And what if it's not true? Could you give yourself those things? Maybe, probably, if you believe it enough. It gives validation to, quote unquote, the way you've been feeling. I'm just saying, I'm not saying everybody's doing that, but I'm just saying, why do you need someone else to tell you you're well? Don't you know whether you're well or not? Now, you may or may not. And it doesn't mean that we don't still have to go to the doctor to get some validation. But it's an idea. So I'm going to take a little break, regroup, and I'm going to play Bashar. He's very funny in this one. Talk about guidance versus leadership. I like his guidance because it's very direct. I never would think of him as a leader, even though he is on the leading edge of thought, but we all are. But the guidance is interesting. And this woman that is asking the questions is great. She's just, you'll see. So here we go. Bashar, always the right choice. You always make the right choice.
That's the paradox.
How do I know if I'm living my highest life, my highest excitement?
Are you acting on your highest excitement every moment to the best of your ability that you know of?
No, I'm in a den.
Well, then obviously you know you're not. Yes?
Okay.
So it's clear that you're not living your highest excitement. Yes?
Yes.
Well, that's how you know.
Are illnesses finite?
Yes. But sometimes they end with death. Still finite.
Shit. So if you...
Well...
Okay, let me rephrase that.
Oh, all right.
So if there's a belief that's holding me to an illness...
Yes.
And I'm aware I need to shift that belief...
Yes.
How do I shift the belief?
Find out what the belief is.
Okay, I know what the belief is.
What is it?
I'm not good enough.
Well, why do you believe you're not good enough? Why would you buy into that? Does that make sense to you?
No, I've allowed it.
Because? What are you getting out of it? Anything that you buy into, you only buy into because you're getting something out of it. If you really weren't getting anything out of it, you would let it go. What are you getting out of holding on to that belief?
Not challenging myself, just staying still.
And that's because you feel that if you challenge yourself, what will happen?
Oh, I get sick again.
Well, there you go.
So do I mantra it? Do I journal it?
In other words, what we said earlier, paradoxically, it has to be all right for you to get sick in order for you to never get sick again. Because you are invalidating the sickness as an experience. Because you're saying there is no possible positive reason that I'm sick. But there could be. There could be. You can't invalidate your experiences. Any of them. They are there for a reason. To teach you something you need to know. So as soon as you start validating it and letting it be all right for whatever needs to happen and stop being afraid of what might happen, then it won't need to happen necessarily. In a sense, you are, in some senses, almost guaranteeing that you'll get sick by not ever wanting to get sick. Because you're saying, that's the only path that I need to avoid. And you can't avoid it if there is a reason why you're creating it. Now, the reason why you're creating it may only be because you don't need it anymore. But you have to allow that to be okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Everything that happens in your life is okay. Everything that happens in your life is okay. Remember, you are an eternal, infinite, indestructible being. So what if you get sick and die? You'll still exist. Oh, well, that was interesting. Speaking linearly, yes, I know everything exists at the same time, but speaking linearly from your linear perspective, you've done it many times. And in a sense, what we said a little while ago about you shifting from one parallel reality version of yourself to another billions of times a second means you're actually dying billions of times a second. This person standing there right now, 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 is not the same person. Literally not the same person that was here a moment ago.
No, I get that.
You're dying all the time, being reborn all the time. So what? It's part of life. Allow yourself to know it's there for a reason. Use it for the positive reason it's there. And when you allow yourself to receive the message that the messenger is attempting to give you, the messenger will go on its way. The only reason things stick around is because you try to push them away. You don't pay attention to why they're there. So they keep knocking and becoming more insistent to get your attention. Because there's something there you want to learn about yourself, if only to reveal a belief you have that you don't prefer. Listen to them, accept, allow, invite those messengers in. Make me devastatingly ill if it's going to teach me something profound that I really, really want to know. Although I am open to learning it another way. I am truly willing to learn it in the path of least resistance. However, if the path that comes is the path that serves me and all concerned best, bring it on. Because I'm indestructible, eternal, and infinite.
And I may die, but it's okay.
Of course it's okay. And when it's okay, you probably won't die.
Okay.
At least not in the way that you mean. Do you understand?
Yes.
Besides which, unless you actually intentionally choose to take your own life physically, you cannot die before you chose your timing to die.
Mm.
Do you understand? Because if it really was that easy, you could just lie down on the floor and close your eyes and say, all right, I'm done, ready to go. Count to 10. If you can still open your eyes, you're not done. Because if it really was your time, you would leave. So you cannot leave before your time that you chose unless you actually choose to physically end your life. Which is also a choice. You're always given. But even if you end your life, you're actually still given a choice to go back. And I don't just mean in the idea of near-death experience. I mean you could actually take up where you left off in a parallel reality, never even knowing that you had died.
Stop.
You have choice at every point. You have choice at every point, even after death, to keep on living. Do you understand? You have.
At the end, he says, you are that free, you are that unbound, you are that unshackled, and you are that powerful. I cut him off before he got to it. Very interesting, huh? To be okay with whatever's going on, and to learn our own guidance systems, and to be our own leaders. We can all be our own leader. It's interesting to watch what they're going to do with the Egyptian revolution and all the revolutions. I mean, the Egyptians are calling for a whole new constitution written by the people, for the people, that instill the rights for the people. But it's new territory. They have to figure out how to write that and what is that going to be and who's going to regulate it and, you know, is it possible that we can get our own leaders into leadership positions that are not going to be bought? That's going to be very interesting how we can figure that out in all our countries. Because somebody's got to run or be the leader of any institution, hotels, restaurants, governments, roads and help with the environment, whatever. I mean, there's got to be all these systems, but maybe that's it. Maybe just having a new constitution that's written correctly and we can go, now, wait a minute, this doesn't benefit us. But I think this is the beginning with the revolution, is to just say no and to stop that. And the only way to stop that is for us to band together. And even if you're not a revolutionary type of a person, you're not going to go to a square and stand with a sign for weeks or even a day. That's fine too. That's what that channeled message, that remote writing was about, was saying something of a new thought. And learning something new, something that you know is the truth. That's part of what we're learning now, too, is to be able to sense what's going on with other people, where they're really coming from, what's really happening besides just the words. Because words are just words. You can say any word, shakalaka boom bam, anything can come flying out of anyone's mouth. And it does not mean that it's their truth. It doesn't mean that it's your truth or the truth. But when it is the truth, you feel it. You know that it's the truth. Why? Because you're listening to your own inner guidance and you are leading yourself to the truth. So while I was on a personal tip, while we were listening to the Bashar, I was debating, you know, what in God's name this episode sounds like. And I was like, you know, I may just go and delete it afterwards. But I think it's important for us to push forward. And I may delete it. Who knows? You'll see. If you're listening to this, I guess I didn't. But for us to not always have to be perfect, especially in this beginning. I mean, who knows what would have happened if those guys went to the square in Egypt and they left. You'll see if you watch the film. They said, okay, what you wanted has happened. The leader, Mubarak, something like that, is gone. And now the military is in charge and we'll be in touch, but please leave. And they trusted them. And the guy talking sounded genuine, the head of the armed forces, which, you know, I think you should always be like, I don't know about this guy. But, you know, so people were filled with love and light and hope, and they said, okay, and then nothing happened. So they went back to the square, and they had paved it over with, you know, made it like grass so that they could say that they were destroying it. But they still went back and they stayed there, and then it got violent. So what if they had stopped either after they went home and they said, well, I guess it didn't work, or after they went and it got violent? I mean, people died, for crying out loud. Like, amazing that you can go to a square to stand up for what you believe in, and one of your friends or you could die. I mean, you know, it's an old story. It's been going on for a while, and people die every day, and we have soldiers dying. But, you know, it's kind of the equivalent of, you know, going to a picnic and somebody dies. So, but that didn't stop them. So I think this time is about us facing our demons, because there are demons. They're not, there's no them. It's all us, whether we like to admit it or not. And it may not be your psyche or your ego right now, but we created it because we are all one. And if it's happening, it's part of us. So for us to band together, teach each other, teach ourselves, focus on what is actually important to us, which is love and light and enjoying our lives and discovering new things and experiencing beautiful everythings, we're going to have to face all these separations that we've had in our face, especially with religion, especially with words. When you say spirituality, people think cult, the Pope, I don't know, Jehovah's Witness. I mean, not everybody thinks that, but a lot of people still do, you know. So free the words. That's a good start. And trusting your own inner guidance system. And how do you do that? Well, you learn who you are. How do you do that? You ask yourself a lot of questions. See what your answers are. Just ask yourself a lot of questions. Why do I do this? Why do I like to do this? Is this standing in integrity, doing this action I'm doing right now? Answer could be yes, no, I don't know. Any answer is valid, but you've asked the right question. What do I want to do today? What would make me happy today? What's bugging me? Why do I feel like crap? Ask yourself a lot of questions. Get to know yourself. Isn't that how we get to know another person? We ask them all kinds of questions. Where did you grow up? How many brothers and sisters do you have? What's important to you? Where do you work? What do you love? What do you eat? So get to know ourselves. Clearly, I'm getting to know myself on the show. I don't know if anyone has stuck with me. I hope you have. Because I do know the information is great, and I do know that I've been given this time and this place and this radio station for a reason. So if I stumble through it and I fall in a ditch, I will climb out. I will always go forward. I don't know if I'm going to erase it or not. I kind of feel like no, even though my ego wants to say yes. How about that? So standing in our own integrity, even if it may not look pretty and it's the harder choice. But it's not the harder choice because why? You'll sit better with yourself. You'll be happier with yourself, and then you'll continue to make other choices that are along the lines of integrity, especially if you've made a hard choice with something. Let's say you're an actor. Let's say you're struggling for money and you're over the waiting tables game and you get offered a $2,000 or $20,000 commercial selling something that you don't believe in. Let's say it's a Monsanto commercial for GMO freaking beans. Are you going to take it? Are you going to say, well, I'm only going to do it for the money, but are you going to take it? Well, but if I don't, I have to do all that. Well, but are you going to take it? And if you do, well, let's see. You chose a road. Let's see how you feel about yourself. And you may feel fine, which is good. You should feel fine. I mean, whatever choice you make, you're going to have to embrace it. But once you get on a path of non-integrity, what else are you going to do? What if somebody offers you a porn? Are you going to do that? I'm not saying porn's bad. We all love it. But are you going to do that? You know, and then on the flip side, if you don't take that and you say, well, I have faith. I have faith that this is not in alignment with my integrity and what I believe in. So I'm not going to do that. And I know that the universe is going to give me something better. Not stress about it, not go, oh. I know the universe is going to give me something better. And if you really get that feeling going, if you at least trust in yourself that you're making the right decision, the universe will show you. Always. Yeah. So that's what it's all about. Learning who you are and learning if you're proud of yourself. And it's easy to be proud of yourself now. You just have to make a couple good decisions that go, yeah, man. Yeah. No one else may understand it, but I get it. And yeah, it did the right thing. And you may question yourself later or second guess yourself, but it is what it is. Part of the journey and the process too. To stick with your decision and honor your decision. Just like Bashar said, everything you do, anything that happens is you guiding you towards higher you, no matter what it is. So it's always good. It's an interesting perspective. So thank you all for sticking with me. And we will see you next week. Check out daughtersofisis.com for many tools. And the misters, they're the spray things. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic right now. I used the flying dragon today, which may have been a little ambitious. I may have flown into a mountain a couple times. But whatever, man. We go with our decisions and stick by them. So have a great week. Enjoy the solar eclipse. Let's see what happens. I think the 1st of May, and May is going to be very interesting. So peace and love. Check out our other shows here on Here Be Monsters. And Consciousness Shift is now on Saturdays at 3 p.m. All right, everyone. Have a great night.